to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you for that special. And praise God for Jesus. And what a joy we get to hear the old story. We get to know that story, and we get to tell that story today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we're going to find our place. We've been studying, doing a survey of the book of 2 Corinthians as we've been studying Acts. We stepped out of Acts to look at this letter when it was written in our narrative in Acts. And we're trying to do a survey. Survey means like a flyover. So you might think about it like this. When you get the full picture of the Bible, that's like a satellite view. You get the whole thing. And then a survey is when we get a little closer. That's like the airplane view, just flying over. You get a few more details, but you get the big picture. And certainly on your own, I would encourage you to take some walks through the forest. Some things that you need to examine more closely that you're not going to get in a survey and a flyover. You got to get down and really look at things. And so as we're doing a survey, you take the time to study, dig a little deeper. If you ever do have questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them. As long as I don't know is an acceptable answer. Because I don't always know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's pray, and then we'll read our text together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day, for the opportunity, the joy it is together with the saints. And we're thankful for Jesus, all the great truths that have been sung today. And we pray that you've been magnified and glorified in it all. Lord, we pray for those who are hearing the message this morning who have never been saved, that even now your Spirit is working in their heart, that today they would believe with all their heart on the Lord Jesus. Lord, that with the mouth confession would be made unto salvation, with the heart they would believe unto righteousness, and that today they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And Father, please help all those who are saved to follow you in baptism, to openly, publicly declare their faith in Christ, and to declare that they've been made new and they're going to walk with you in that newness of life. Help all who are saved and baptized to faithfully serve you in the local church. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless our time together in the Word today. Help me from nothing without you. And Lord, help us to realize how blessed, how privileged we are to carry the gospel in our lives. And help us to be faithful witnesses by your strength, by your grace, and by your power. And for your glory, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to begin. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now remember, this letter in a large degree was written to defend the apostleship of Paul, to defend his ministry. And so a lot of the things he's making statements about are in answer to accusations made against him. And so keep that in mind as you look at this. He's saying we haven't quit, we haven't fainted, and we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The reason he's saying that is because people were accusing him of being dishonest. They were accusing him of just putting on a show and then going on to something else, that he was handling the word in craftiness. In other words, he was a huckster. He was a pretender. He was a peddler of the word of God. He wasn't sincere in his faith of God. Can you imagine somebody accusing the Apostle Paul of not being sincere? I mean, you read about in all the things he endured for the gospel's sake, all the places he went, all the things that he did. To accuse him of not being sincere is insanity to me. And we're going to read about some of the things that he endured. And that's why it's really important to catch this phrase at the end of verse 1. We faint not. And we know that the chapter breaks were put there by men. But I want you to notice this. In verse 1, he says, we faint not. And then again at verse 16, towards the end of this chapter, he says, for which cause we faint not. And a lot of the thoughts that we're going to see in this chapter are sandwiched between these identical phrases. We faint not. And so the encouragement to you today would be, don't faint. Amen. So what does that mean? The word is literally in the Greek, it's a compound word that it literally means to be or do badly. It has the idea of a heart that's been evil affected. And he says our heart hasn't been evil affected. We haven't fainted or failed in our hearts. We have maintained our faith in God. We've maintained our purity in Christ. We are living out the life that's been transformed by the gospel. Does that make sense to you? What do you think about fainting today? Just real quick, have any of you ever fainted? Anybody? Where's my fainters? Yeah, I'm looking for the ones that I've witnessed faint. That's not a good thing, right? Just as a side note, it's good to stay conscious during the preaching. It's good to stay conscious. And you're not fooling me. I know you're not praying. And I know the old trick, too, to lay your Bible there and look down like you're reading. Yeah, I know that trick. I invented that trick. This is not the time to faint. Amen. And he says, we don't faint. We keep on. They had people who were falsely accusing them. They had enemies that were attacking them. They said, within our fears and without our fightings, we'll read about it later in the book, about all the things that they endured and being imprisoned and being beaten and being shipwrecked and being hungry and not having enough clothes to wear, being cold. I mean, they endured so much. And he says, we don't faint. We don't quit. Now, can I just submit to you today that we've got it pretty cushy today? American Christianity is pretty cushy. And especially way down here in the South in the Bible Belt, we've got it pretty good. Listen, I can go to the grocery store in town and they'll be playing Christian music on the radio. Like, it's not like in other places where it's illegal to carry a Bible. Like in China, our brothers and sisters who meet to worship the Lord today in China, they can't all show up at the same time. They have to show up in secret locations. They have to show up at different times. They have to sneak the Word of God in there, because if they get caught, it's going to cost them dearly. Amen. They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose the way to provide for their family. They may even lose their lives for worshiping Jesus today. So I'm just saying, when we look at it today compared to the way it was in that day, when we look at the way it is here compared to the way it is in other places in the world today, we really have no reason to quit. We faint not. And yet, 60 to 80% of Christians who start in the faith leave the faith. Scores of pastors leave the pastorate every year. There are dozens quitting today. Today's their last Sunday in churches all around the world. Christians who profess faith in Jesus, follow him in baptism, over two-thirds of those who start running for Jesus will stop running for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, don't quit. Don't faint. Why? He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have work to do. We can't quit because we have work to do. Hey, listen, some of you work hard and some of you have got some jobs where it requires manual labor, and some of you have jobs that require a lot of mental toughness. I know both. I know that sometimes sitting at a desk staring at a computer can be mind-numbing. It can be wearisome. It can make you want to quit. And I know sometimes working physically, you get tired and you want to quit. But listen, what do? Well, you keep working because you got to work. You got work to do. Hold on. We don't just quit, do we? I still live in a world where if you don't work, you don't eat. Like, Amen. You got to work. Amen. Sometimes you get tired and you want to quit. You don't quit. Why? Because you have a job to do. Can I submit to you, whatever your job is in this life, this job is more important. Amen. Amen. Your ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ is more important. So we have a job to do. Not only that, he says, as we have received mercy. You don't quit because God's given you mercy. You don't quit because God has not given you what you deserve. How are you doing today? Better than I deserve. What's that mean? It means I recognized, at least to some small degree, that I am doing better than what I deserve. Why? What do I deserve? Well, I deserve the lake of fire. I deserve to be eternally separated from God's presence. What do you deserve? Same thing. We've received mercy, not just salvation mercy, not just eternal mercy, but daily mercy. Listen, I know some of you have heard some of your stories. I've experienced some of your stories. It's only God's mercy that we're here today. Amen. Listen, some of us have done some really, really, really dumb stuff. And if God gave us what we deserve, we wouldn't be here right now. Amen. He's given us mercy. And he's given us grace upon grace, so don't quit. Don't faint. Don't fail in your hearts. Don't allow yourself to be turned back. And it's interesting that it's translated this way, that we faint not, and it means not to lose heart, because that's what happens when you lose heart. You're going to act badly. You're going to do evil. The root of it has to do with evil. And what happens when you lose heart? What happens when you faint? What happens when you stop following Jesus? You're going to end up in a really bad place doing bad things. Amen. He's saying that's not where we're at. We're going to keep on following Jesus. They were accusing them of being evil. They were accusing them of being charlatans, of being hucksters, of being liars. But all the while, they were following Jesus. Not sinless, not sinless, not perfect, but following hard after Jesus because they didn't quit. He says, we have a ministry of a work to do. We have mercy. We have been given God's love when we don't deserve it. And we manifest the truth. We display the truth because we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in craftiness. We're not handling the word of God deceitfully. But we are manifesting, we are unveiling the truth, and we're commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What's that mean? It means we're living out what we're calling you to live out. You remember what Paul said? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. And so we're commending ourselves to you. We're showing you our lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. Our lives are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're living that out in front of you. Amen. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. We don't need to just tell the story. We must tell the story. Amen. We also have to live the story. Don't faint. Look at verse 3. The next section we're going to grab today is verses 3 through 12. And it's simply this: preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's important. If you underline in your Bible, you might underline that those words, which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Amen. I want you to get this perspective. Remember the apostles speaking of himself and the other missionaries, the others who have been going and preaching the gospel, planting churches, confirming churches in the known world. And he's giving that perspective. They endured a lot. They were always at risk of death. The sentence of death was in them. In other words, everywhere they went, somebody was literally trying to kill them. And he says, so we have the sentence of death in us, that we might die the death of Jesus so that you can live the life of Jesus. We're willing to risk our lives for you to hear the gospel. Now, we're to preach, not ourselves, verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach Christ. I don't know if you think about that. I mentioned churches having services in other places. I communicate with some of our missionaries and pastors in the Philippines, and you know, they've already had their worship service today. The sun comes up a little quicker over there than it does here, and other places have had their time together this morning. Other places will have their time together this morning. And all around this world, Christians are gathering and men are standing and preaching the word of God today. Amen. And would to God every one of them stood and preached Christ. We don't preach ourselves. Amen. We preach Jesus. It's not about you, and it's certainly not about me. It's about Jesus. We want to point to Jesus. We want to look to Jesus. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to exalt the name of Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. We don't want them to just know about him, but we want them to know him. Who is he? Christ, Jesus, the Lord. He is Christ, Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, Messiah that was appointed by God from eternity past to be the Savior of the world. He's Jesus, the Savior. He who saves, his name means salvation. Amen. He is the one and only Savior, not a Savior, the Savior. Not a way, the way. Not a truth, the truth. Amen. Not a life, the life. Amen. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. He is the living word of God. We preach Christ, Jesus, and friends, he is Lord. Not just Lord of some, he's Lord of all. Not just Lord of those who believe, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And what a joy that we get to get ahead of the game. Hey, you trust in him today, you get to bow the knee today. You get to speak from your mouth today and glorify him today. I used to think that it was a time in a person's life you would be saved, and then later in life you would grow to a place of maturity where you would make Jesus the Lord of your life. And I came to learn that you don't get to make Jesus Lord, he is Lord. Amen. But what happens is you get to a place of maturity in your Christian life where you understand this reality, he is Lord. Amen. And we ought to live like he's Lord. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. I want you to notice in our text, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He says in verse 3, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So what's that mean? The gospel can be hidden to them that are lost. And who are those that are lost? Those who are unbelievers. Amen. Satan blinds the minds of those who do not believe. So how does it work? Well, there are some Christians today who would tell you, they don't believe because they can't believe, because God won't allow them to believe, and he allows Satan to blind them. I'm here to tell you today that they can be blinded, but it's because of their unbelief. Amen. God has made himself manifest. He's revealed himself to the world through creation. Everybody knows there's a God, so we're all without excuse. Amen. He's revealed himself through creation. He's declared himself through creation. The hidden things of him, the invisible things of God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. It's Romans 1. He's also given us all a conscience. Even those filthy Gentiles, you know, us. Those heathens who didn't grow up with the law of God. They had a law unto themselves. God gave them a conscience. They were born with a knowledge of good and evil. They grew up into a knowledge of good and evil. We have a conscience that tells us there's a God. Amen. Just hang on for a second, guys. You tell me that this world came from random chance processes. Nothing exploded into everything billions of years ago. And if you give nothing enough time, it becomes everything. That's nonsense. But let's just pretend that it did. Let's just pretend that all you are is stardust. You're just bags of meat with brain fizz. That's all you are. If that's true, then you tell me how in an evolutionary mindset, a godless mindset, how that there's any sense of what's good and what's wrong. How there's ever good and evil in that. There is no good or evil if there's not a good God. Amen. There's no right and wrong. It is. We're all just animals. We're all just bags of meat bumping into each other in the cosmos, and nothing matters. But we know better than that. Amen. We know it's wrong to lie. Hey, kids, it's wrong to lie. Amen. Hey, not kids, it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal.
Amen.
It's wrong to kill.
Amen.
I mean, you can ask any atheist on this planet, and if they're consistent with their worldview, they have a hard time with that. If they're consistent with their godless worldview, if you ask an atheist if rape is wrong, if they're consistent with their worldview, they have to say, no, it's not wrong. But they can't say that. They can't say that because inside of their being, they know that it's wrong. Oh, where'd that come from? The God they say they don't believe in. So what's the point? The point is that there are people, God has revealed himself through creation, through conscience, and even through the word of God, and they don't believe. And because of their unbelief, Satan has blinded their minds. Because of their unbelief, Satan has blinded their minds. And if you continue to reject God, he will give you over to a reprobate mind.
Amen. Amen.
If you continue to reject God's love and mercy, he will give you over to that. You say, well, when? I don't know, but you should be terrified.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says things like, call on the Lord while he may be found. That's why it says, believe today. That's why it says, now is the day of salvation. Because tomorrow's not promised. And your ability to repent and believe may not exist tomorrow. Yeah, that's hard truth, isn't it? Listen, friends, you're here, you're hearing the word. That means God's given you opportunity, so repent and believe. Don't wait. Preach Christ Jesus the Lord. You can't preach him unless you know him, and you can't know him unless you call on him, and you can't call on him unless you believe in him, and you can't believe in him unless you hear of him.
Amen.
And you can't hear of him unless somebody preaches the gospel. So what I'm trying to do is preach the gospel to you today, because Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and if you'll call on him, he'll save you.
Amen.
So hear it and believe it and call on his name today. And if you have received that mercy from God, then go and do likewise. Go and preach the gospel to others. The gospel can be hidden to those that are lost, but look at those who believe. The gospel has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, today, if you're born again, it's because you believed. It's because you heard and you believed. And God shined the light of the gospel into you in the face of Jesus. In other words, when you saw Jesus by faith, you saw the glory of God.
Amen.
And you believed. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
That he shined in your heart the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That you know the one who created the universe. I know him.
Amen.
And even better, he knows me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Clay pots. Some people would say jars of clay. It's not just a band from when I was growing up. Like four people got that reference. Jars of clay. Clay pots, earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We've been talking a lot about evangelism lately. And those of you who have been trying to do better can recognize this. It's really hard to be evangelistic. It's hard to be consistent. We tend to be hot or cold. Go through times when we're hot, go through times when we're cold. It's difficult to be consistent, and it's hard. You say, man, it's tough to talk to people. It's usually tough to get started. Once you get started, it's real easy. And we're like, I can't do it. And we get out and we try to tell people about Jesus, and we're like, I just can't do it. I don't see any success. But friend, let me tell you again, it's not us.
Amen.
Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The sower goes out to sow, but he's not the one that makes the plants grow. God does that.
Amen.
It's our job to tell, and it's God's job to do everything else. You can't save anybody.
Amen.
Only God can do that. And he says, we have this treasure. And can we say that the glory of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ is a treasure? It's the greatest treasure in creation. It's the greatest treasure in the universe to know the God of heaven loves you and gave himself for you and will make you his own.
Amen.
By faith alone. That's a treasure.
Amen.
Hey, just please. Some of you are so nervous that I'm going to try to finish this whole chapter. I'm going to stop preaching eventually. But can you just stop for a second and savor the goodness of the gospel?
Amen.
You and I deserve hell. We deserve the lake of fire. That is what justice demands, that we would die forever. But you're not dead in Christ.
Amen.
You're alive.
Right.
You're not condemned. You're forgiven. You're not in darkness. You've been brought into his glorious light. You're not dead. You're not dead.
Amen.
You've been made alive. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power is of God and not us. Paul was a chosen vessel of God. Chosen out of a life of self-righteousness, of religiosity, brought into the kingdom of his dear son by faith, just like everyone else. But God said he's a chosen vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles. A chosen vessel. Can I tell you, you're a chosen vessel too?
Amen.
But the Bible teaches us there in households in that day, Paul uses a similar analogy when he talks to Timothy. He says in that day, there are different kinds of vessels. Some were unto honor and some unto dishonor. Those honorable vessels were usually made of nicer things than clay. Maybe they were precious metals of some kind. Maybe it was made out of brass, or maybe it was made out of silver. If they were very wealthy, maybe it was made out of gold. But these were the nice vessels that you would put your food and drink in. Everybody with me right now?
Amen.
And then there were vessels unto dishonor. I'm going to try to make this as KJV as I can this morning. You would bring the food in on vessels of honor like silver, but after the food was processed, you would take it out in clay pots.
Amen.
Everybody tracking right now? Do the kids understand? They didn't have indoor plumbing. Vessels of dishonor. I want you to understand what Paul's saying here. We have this treasure, this goodness, this glorious gospel in clay pots, in vessels of dishonor. He's saying, I'm the thing that you would take the refuse out in. I'm the thing you take the garbage out in. I'm the thing you take the waste out in. That's what I am.
Amen.
But he's put the treasure of the gospel in me. They were attacking Paul, saying he wasn't humble, saying he was self-righteous, and he's saying, I am nothing.
Amen.
But the gospel of Christ is everything. We are blessed to have the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. We need to remember today that we didn't deserve salvation, but he gave it to us anyway.
Amen.
We don't deserve to be a part of the gospel ministry, but he makes us part of it anyway. We need to always remember that it's not us, it's him. Just thinking about the ministry that they did and how God used them. I was thinking about how God told Peter, feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And even in that, you think about what a shepherd does. A shepherd rarely actually feeds any of the animals. He just leads them to green pastures.
Amen.
Now, if he has a young lamb that's having a hard time, he may have to bottle feed that lamb to help it along when it's very young or if it's sick. But most of the time, the shepherd just leads the sheep to the pasture. They actually do the feeding themselves. How? By what God has provided. What's the point? God gets all the glory. I can tell you this, it wasn't about Paul. And it wasn't about Titus, and it wasn't about Timothy, and it wasn't about Apollos, and it wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about any of the rest of the people we read about. None of those men, none of those women who were serving Jesus, it was never about them because the work was done of God.
Amen.
They were vessels used of God. And I tell you today, it's certainly not about me. It's not about your pastor. It's not about the teachers. It's not about anyone who would stand and preach. It's always about Christ. I thank God for people who stand and preach and teach. I thank God for men and women who go and take the gospel out into the world. But it's never about us.
Amen.
It's always about Him. And to Him be all the glory.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Musicians, come. We're going to stop right there at verse 7 this morning. We'll pick up at verse 8 next time. We're back in 2 Corinthians. But this morning, it's really just this simple. If you are not saved, you need to be soundly saved today. You need to repent of your sin and unbelief. You need to trust with all your heart in the finished work of Jesus. If you call on His name, He will save you. So be saved today. If you are saved and you've never been baptized, it's the first step of obedience after salvation. I believe that. I'm persuaded by that. It's part of the gospel message to publicly identify with Christ. So if you're not saved, be saved. If you are saved, be baptized. Be buried with Him by baptism. Come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. It doesn't save you, but it pictures your salvation. And if you're saved and baptized, be sure today that you don't walk out of this room with any unconfessed or unrepented sin. Make sure your heart is thoroughly right with Jesus, equipped and encouraged to go and make Him known to this lost world around us. We want to be faithful ministers. Don't faint, but keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 5.